Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Arab Mir Kahana, Reuven Hoffman, Bari Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, I want to speak about two incidents that occurred in Israel in the past several days, and what it says about the state of affairs in Israel and why our movement is so important. The first incident happened at the so-called gay parade on Friday. They had the so-called gay parade in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim, our sacred capital. You have men dressed like women and women dressed like men marching around promoting an abomination. What the Torah defines as an abomination. What a chilul Hashem this is. What a desecration of God's name. And so, a Haredi Jew, the Haredim are the Jews that have beards and black coats and study in yeshivas. A Haredi Jew decided that he couldn't take this chilul Hashem anymore, so he stabbed six of the people in the parade. This was the second time he had done this. He actually did it 10 years ago, was in jail for 10 years, was in prison for 10 years, got out of prison 3 weeks ago, and did it again, stabbing six people in the parade. One of the people he stabbed died of their wounds today. That's one incident. And then shortly after that, there was another incident. There was an arson attack at an Arab home near Shechem, the home of an Arab family, and an infant died. And it was a vengeance attack, they say. They say it was a vengeance attack by Jews because of the numerous incidents of Jews being brutally murdered by Arabs. So they say that this appeared to be Jews carrying out an act of vengeance, although to this moment we have no proof of the fact that this was actually Jews, that the Jews actually did this. But anyway, those two incidents occurred. An attack on an Arab home in which an Arab infant died. It was an arson attack on an Arab home. And this stabbing at the Jerusalem abomination parade, at the Jerusalem homosexual parade. Now, everyone, of course, reacted with absolute hysteria, condemning and calling all types of names and attacking all the religious Jews and attacking everyone in sight. It was just absolute hysteria from the left-wing Israeli news media and from the phony right. Not just from the leftists, but from the phony right. The phony right was actually more hysterical in their condemnations and in their attacks than the left. Once again, JTF And the Jewish Task Force in Hebrew is Koach Mesima Yehudi. That's how you say Jewish Task Force in Hebrew. Once again, our movement, Koach Mesima Yehudi. We just uploaded it, in which we reacted to this, and we explained what our position is on this issue. What we said is, we urge Jews not to do illegal things like this, to protest either against the homosexual parade, or to fight against the Arab enemy in Judea and Samaria or in the land of Israel. We urged people not to do illegal things like this for one reason and one reason only. We don't want good Jews who love the land of Israel, who love the Torah, who love Hashem, who love God, good, loyal, wonderful Jews who are willing to sacrifice everything because of their love for all the righteous things. We don't want them spending years of their lives, and perhaps in some cases even the rest of their lives, God forbid, in prison. We don't want good Jews having to sacrifice their entire lives just to get headlines one day that they stopped this evil parade or that they did something else to the Arab enemy. For one day's actions, it is not worth it for good Jews like this to destroy their lives and to spend the rest of their lives, or at least many years, behind bars. So we urge these Jews, we said it's not worth it, we urge these Jews not to do things that are illegal. Again, only because we don't want these good Jews to destroy their lives and ruin their lives in prison. Now, What we did say is, you must continue to protest. Everyone else is backing down now and bending over backwards to appease the enemies of Israel, whether it's the enemies from within, you know, Jewish homosexuals are part of the enemy from within, or whether it's the external enemy, the Arab Muslim Nazi enemy. People, everyone was bending over backwards, especially the phony right. We say no, we will continue to oppose the Arab Nazi enemy that wants to destroy the Jewish people. We will continue to oppose these so-called parades and everything else that's part of the so-called gay agenda. We have an obligation to protest. We have an obligation to speak out. We have an obligation to oppose these things and to give the Torah true view on these issues. We have an obligation to do so, but we urge people to do it within the law, within the boundaries of the law, within the parameters of the law. Of course, things are unfair in Israel. Of course, the establishment, which controls the news media, the army, the police, the political prostitutes, the whole system is corrupt from top to bottom. Is rotten from top to bottom. It's not one rotten apple in the political system and among those who control the levers of power in Israel. It's not one rotten apple. The whole barrel is rotten. But the only realistic way to oppose this is we must speak out. We must do the best we can, but we have to do it within the boundaries of the law. Our protests have to remain law abiding. Having said that, the reaction of the phony right in Israel was so typical. The phony right is the Likud party of Bibi Netanyahu and Moshe Yalon. The phony right is the so-called Jewish Home Party of Naftali Bennett and Ayelet Shaked. That's the phony right. And what we have been saying is the phony right has proven in Israel that they're worse than the left. In America, that's not necessarily true. I wouldn't necessarily say Bush was a terrible president, but I don't know if I would say that George W. Bush was worse than Barack Hussein Obama. I don't know if I could say that. So in America, that may not be true, that the phony right is worse than the left. The phony right is terrible in America too, terrible. But I don't know if they're worse than the left. But in Israel, the phony right is worse than the left. In Israel, most of the surrenders of land in the Holy Land, most of the giving up of land and throwing Jews out of their homes and expulsions, most of that takes place under the phony right, not under the left. The left wants to do all these things, but is unable to do it as effectively as the phony right. So the phony right, generally, in most cases, on most issues, is worse for the Jewish people, is even more dangerous for the Jewish people when we're talking about the phony right versus the left in Israel. The phony right, again, being the Likud and Bibi Netanyahu and Naftali Bennett, those politicians are worse than the left. That's what history proves. And we saw that again with these two incidents. Moshe Yaalon, the so-called defense minister of Israel, immediately said that we want to have administrative detention against right-wing Jews. In other words, right-wing Jews who just express their opinion are now going to be subjected to being thrown in prison for expressing their opinion against homosexual perverts who want to hold parades where men dress as women, where men run around with breasts and wigs and dresses in the middle of the streets of Jerusalem, which is a religious city and the holiest place in the world, the most sacred place in the world. Do you have any idea what an abomination, how evil this is? But Moshe Yaalon and the Likud, all the Likud people think that this is wonderful. They march in the parade, by the way. All the Likud leaders, they march in the parade. Miri Regev, who's supposed to be the real right-winger in the Likud, she marches in the gay parades. Anyway, Moshe Yaalon and Bibi Netanyahu immediately said, we're going to propose new legislation to crack down on right-wing Jews. That's the only people they ever cracked down on. Right-wing Jews who lawfully express their opinion and just give their opinion now are not going to have the right to express themselves if this is allowed to stand. And we're not going to be silenced by this. No matter what, we are not going to be silenced by this, God forbid. And so what does administrative detention mean? Administrative detention is something the Israelis got from the British mandatory days when the British ran Israel like a colony, and they kept the old British laws, which is a disgrace. They kept these old British laws, including administrative detention, which the British don't use in England itself. In the United Kingdom itself, they would never do that to British citizens. But they did this to their colonies. And the Israeli authorities kept that law in order to put people in prison. They put Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, in prison several times under administrative detention. They've put Jewish heroes like Noam Federman in prison under administrative detention. They've done this to numerous good Jews. They've never done it to an evil Jew. Never. Evil left-wing Jews, they never touch. And so, this is what they're now pushing for. This is what they're now pushing for. Moshe Yaalon, of course, he's not going to put... He's not going to... And by the way, before I explain what Moshe Yaalon and Bibi intend to do with this fascist law called administrative detention, do you know what it means? It means you're not entitled to a jury, you're not entitled to a judge, you're not entitled to legal representation. Nothing. They throw you in jail and throw the key away, and you have no right to go to court, no right to see a judge, no right to a trial, no right to anything. You just sit in jail as long as they feel like it. This is worse than the Soviet Union. In the Soviet Union, even, they always gave you a trial. They didn't have administrative detention in the old communist system in the Soviet Union. Even there, they at least gave... Of course, the trial in the Soviet Union was a farce. But at least they at least pretended to give you a trial. Here, nothing. That's administrative detention. That's how they treat Jews in Israel, just for expressing their opinion. Would they ever use this law, by the way, against leftists who commit treason against the state of Israel? Of course not. Never once. Would they ever use this law against Arab Knesset members, Arabs who sit in the Knesset, who openly call for the destruction of Israel and the destruction of the Jewish people, who use the Knesset to praise Hezbollah, Hamas, Fatah, the Islamic State, and all the terrorist organizations that call openly for the annihilation of the Jewish people? Can you imagine if you had senators and congressmen praising the Islamic State, praising what they call ISIS, which is really the Islamic State? Imagine if you had senators and congressmen in America praising them and praising Al-Qaeda. I mean, it's unthinkable. But in Israel, you actually have this. You have the Arab members of the Knesset do this all the time. Will Moshe Yaalon and Netanyahu, will they do anything against this? Of course not. Of course not. The Arabs can do whatever they want. There are no laws in regard to Arabs. There are no laws in regard to leftists. They can break any law under the sun and nothing ever happens to them. The prosecutors are all leftists. The judges are all leftists. The courts are all leftists. And that's something Netanyahu and the phony right have put into place. That's because of Netanyahu. He protects the Supreme Court. He protects the system for picking left-wing judges and picking left-wing prosecutors. Netanyahu is guilty and responsible for this. That's right-wing. Naftali Bennett, he runs on the so-called Jewish Home Party, which is supposed to be the old Maftal, the old National Religious Party, and they're supposed to be religious, they're supposed to be right-wing, they're supposed to defend the Jewish settlers. What a bunch of phony, hypocrite liars. Naftali Bennett immediately announced after the stabbing of these homosexual perverts who were deliberately marching in Jerusalem to deliberately provoke religious Jews. Naftali Bennett right away said that he is going to increase taxpayer support, increase funding from the taxpayers of Israel for organizations that promote. Especially for one organization in particular that's taxpayer-funded and taxpayer-sponsored, that promotes homosexuality, that encourages young Jews to be homosexuals. Imagine an organization that goes around proselytizing for homosexuality, and the taxpayers have to support this? Naftali Bennett is the so-called education minister. This is the education they give Jews, encouraging Jews to be homosexuals. That's the education they're getting in Israel. Now, Naftali Bennett's supposed to be religious and supposed to be right-wing. Can you believe what a farce this is? And he's not the only one. Ayelet Shaked, also from the Jewish Home Party. She said that Jewish terrorists are much worse than Arab terrorists. What they do does much more harm than Arab terrorists, what she calls so-called Jewish terrorists. In other words, if there's a Jew from a group like Tag Mechir, which means price tag, that attacks an Arab target, or even some kids, some Jewish kids spray paints graffiti against Arabs, or let's say a Jew uses a firebomb and attacks an Arab target. If a Jew does this, some Jewish kid, again, in self-defense, in response to the numerous attacks on Jews, if a Jewish kid does this, he's worse, according to Ayelet Shaked, who calls herself right-wing, who's supposed to be from the so-called right-wing Jewish Home Party. This Jewish kid from Tag Mechir, according to Ayelet Shaked, is worse than the Muslim Nazi terrorists who promised to exterminate the entire Jewish people. The teenagers who have been involved with Tag Mechir and have been involved in trying to defend the Jewish people, because the government of Israel doesn't defend the Jewish people. Government of Israel allows the Arab terrorists to murder Jews and does nothing to defend them. In fact, the government of Israel armed and trained Arab terrorists. The so-called PLO police, I mean, those are Arab terrorists that murdered large numbers of Jews. They were armed and trained by the Israeli government. The Israeli government invited the Arab terrorists into Israel. And so when Jews trying to defend their homes, their families, their communities, their land, their country, their people, take the law into their own hands, according to Ayelet Shaked, that's worse than the Islamic State, worse than Hamas, worse than Hezbollah, worse than Al-Qaeda, worse than the PLO and Fatah, worse than the Muslim Nazi terrorists who want to finish Hitler's job. In other words, the Arab Hitlers who want to exterminate the entire Jewish people, who want to perpetrate another Holocaust, this time completely exterminating the Jewish people, God forbid. Those Arab Hitlers are nothing compared to the terrible Jewish kids in Tag Mechir who spray paint graffiti and who sometimes do more than that in order to defend themselves against the Arab terrorists. That's what Ayelet Shaked said. And again, I want to emphasize, we oppose those who decide to commit illegal acts because we don't want good Jews to go to prison for long periods of time. So we urge them not to do this. But to say that they're worse than the Muslim Nazi terrorists who want a Holocaust, who want to exterminate the whole Jewish people, this is an obscenity. This is an obscenity, and this is what the anti-Semitic phony right in Israel, which is just as anti-Semitic as the left, as the open left, this is what the anti-Semitic phony right stands for. So, of course, we have to come into the picture. We're the only ones that fill the vacuum and do it. We just did a Hebrew video that we put up where we tell the truth and stand for the truth. And it's so important that somebody do that. It's so important, because if we weren't there, nobody else would. If you agree that it's important that the truth be told to the Jews of Israel, then help us. The more people we reach, the better chance we have of waking people up before it's too late. We have an obligation to do that. And so we ask you to do four things to help us. Number one, we need your prayers. Pray to Hashem that we succeed. Number two, we ask you to help us promote our Hebrew and English videos. When you see us put up English and Hebrew videos, promote them on YouTube, Facebook, everywhere possible. Number three, we ask you to participate, comment on our main page, the JTF.org main page that the great Shlomo has done such a wonderful job of turning into a great news page. And number four, most importantly of all, checks, money orders, cash donations that are made out to our post office box, that are sent to our post office box, make a huge difference. A huge difference. Every donation we get helps us, strengthens us, and enables us to reach more people with our message. If you agree this message is important, and I know you, our great JTFers, understand the importance of this message, then help us. We urge you to help us. And God bless the great JTFers who are helping us with checks, money orders, and cash donations that they send to our post office box. By the way, for those of you who don't know, our post office box, I mean, it's you can easily find it. It's listed on our main site, and you can easily find it. I could give it to you now, but it's there if you want to find it and if you want to help us. If you prefer, instead of sending it through the regular mail, if you prefer to do it online for convenience sake, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. You can do that by just going to the Hebrew main page, and you'll see a button in English, donate, the word donate in English, on top. I think it's the only English word on the whole Hebrew main page. It's on the top, it's in big letters, donate. You click on the donate button on the Hebrew Main page, and in several minutes you can conveniently donate online. And the Hebrew Main page is hayamin.org. That's hayamin.org. So, we need help to get our message out. We've got to reach people as quickly as possible because no one is telling the truth. And that means we've got to fill that vacuum. We've got to be there to tell people gay parades are not okay. Not in Jerusalem, not in Tel Aviv, not anywhere in the land of Israel. Homosexuality is a toeva, an abomination, as it says in the Torah. It's not okay. It's not okay that government-funded groups are encouraging young Jews to be homosexuals in Israel, God forbid. It is a horrible disgrace that that is taking place. It's not okay that all the politicians get on their hands and knees before all of these evil, hateful gay groups, so-called gay groups. It's not okay. We have a right to give to tell the Torah true view of this. We have a right to oppose this and to protest. And anti-democratic laws that are designed to stifle that right, we have a right to fight against that and to oppose that. And, of course, we have a right and an obligation to say that the Arabs that are in Israel, as far as the incident involving the Arabs that are in Israel, who are continuing to murder Jews and pose a threat to our very survival, the millions of Arabs in Israel, they should be encouraged to leave the land of Israel. There is no other solution. There is no other solution to our problems in the land of Israel other than to encourage the Arabs to leave the land of Israel with compensation. As long as they don't have a terrorist pass, if they have a connection to terrorism or a terrorist pass, they don't get anything. They'll get no compensation. But if they don't, then with compensation, we have to encourage them to leave because they're a mortal threat to Israel's very survival. Help us. Let's work together as a team. One other little item, of course, you know, this Thursday night, actually Thursday 5 p.m. is going to be the first debate, and then Thursday 9 p.m. there are going to be two debates because there are too many candidates to fit in one debate. So there's going to be the smaller debate at 5 p.m. and then it's at 9 p.m. the really big event for the Republican presidential nomination. I think we should all say a prayer that Ted Cruz, our candidate, succeed in that debate and make a breakthrough in that debate. Let's at least pray for that. It's not going to be easy because when you have 17 candidates and he's not at the top, unfortunately, because the media has decided to promote Donald Trump and other people. That's the media deliberately doing that. But still, he's been gaining in polls recently. He's been gaining a little bit more. The latest poll I just saw from NBC, Wall Street Journal, has him at 9%. That's a little bit more than other polls have shown. But, I mean, it shows him gaining. And in a 17-candidate race, that means if he continues to gain, he could have a shot. So let's hope and pray, and let's say a prayer for Ted Cruz, because a lot is at stake. A lot is at stake. We need to have a president elected in 2016 that will change the course of what is going on now, because what is going on now is true madness. Okay, let's get to our questions from our great JTFers. And we start with Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, what are your thoughts on the Hulk Hogan situation? Compare it to Paula Deen," unquote. Well, Hulk Hogan, for those of you who don't know, was a wrestler, a professional wrestler. And, you know, somebody tape recorded him in private conversations and he used the word nigger. So he's been fired and that's the end of his career. Now, if he had been a black racist using the word whitey or honky or cracker, we know that's not a problem because Al Sharpton calls white people crackers. And Al Sharpton has a show on MSNBC and is welcomed on Fox and welcomed everywhere else. Welcomed in the White House. The President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, has made anti-white racist remarks. So, you know, that's perfectly acceptable. Make anti-Semitic remarks. Hillary Clinton has said Jew bastard. She calls everybody that she dislikes, including people that aren't Jewish, she calls them Jew bastards. Hillary Clinton is the worst anti-Semite. That's perfectly okay. But Hulk Hogan said something about blacks. He used the word nigger. And so he was fired immediately. What a farce. What a farce. And, of course, Paula Deen, the same thing happened to Paula Deen. If you dare to use the word nigger 100 years ago, if you used it, that's the end of your career. That's the end of your career. If you say something against whites or Jews and support the destruction of the Jewish people or horrible genocide, that's perfectly acceptable. In fact, in Hollywood and the media, they'll actually promote you if you do that. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. We go now to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think of the possibility of Jonathan Pollard being released from prison? Thanks, unquote. Oh, Baruch Hashem, thank God. I hope finally that he will be released. I mean, it'll be 30 years already in November. What a horrible, horrible miscarriage of justice. What a terrible miscarriage of justice this is. Jonathan Pollard is a Jewish hero. What he did to save the Jewish people and save the state of Israel, we should be eternally grateful to him. And he's also an American hero. He did not harm the United States. On the contrary, passing over that information was good for America, because America had a policy of not taking action against Muslim terrorists. And a lot of the Muslim terrorists and Muslim regimes that he passed information on later on wound up murdering Americans. So what he did was good for America, good for Israel, and good for the world. He was a hero. He shouldn't have spent 30 seconds in prison. He should have gotten a medal for what he did. And instead, almost 30 years in prison. What vicious anti-Semitism. I hope he's released from prison in November. I hope everything goes smoothly. I hope he's going to be healthy and lives a long, healthy life, God willing, because he's gotten very sick in the past 30 years. And I hope they let him go to Israel, because he's going to be on parole. If he's on parole in the United States, they could throw him back in prison at any time, and he's still like a prisoner. I know what it's like, because I've been on parole. And I've been on probation, and I've been in these situations. So I know what it's like. Let's hope they let him. I mean, he should be allowed to go to Israel after all this time. They're going to continue to play this game with him. It's an obscenity. So we should all say a prayer also for Jonathan Pollard. Thank you, Joe. And we go now to Kahana Loyalist, who writes, and I quote, Dear Chaim, I don't believe there are any memorials this year for the Rav Zatzal in the U.S. Will JTF put one together, unquote. That's a shame. That's a shame. I didn't know that. You know, we're so, Kahana Loyalist, we're so busy with so many things. In Israel here, everything else, and we have so many things we're trying to do. It's a lot of work putting together a memorial. For us, at least, it would be a lot of work. You got to rent a place. You got to advertise it. You got to prepare everything. You got to get the speakers ready. It's a lot of work. It really is an involved process if you want to do one that's worthy of the name. I mean, you want to do one that brings honor to the rabbi's memory. I think it's too much for us right now. I mean, we're overwhelmed with what we're trying to do. I mean, there are many things we're trying to do, some of which we don't even mention on the show, because if we mentioned publicly some of the things that we're doing, it would spoil what we're doing. So we're just so involved with so many things that we're doing here and behind the scenes in Israel and publicly in Israel, that it will be very difficult for us to do that. I'm sorry if there isn't an event for him in the United States. I'm sorry about that. But of course, there will be an event, as there always is, in Jerusalem for the rabbi. Thank you, Kahana Loyalist. We go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, Your opinion on Mike Huckabee's Holocaust oven reference and the ADL's condemnation of it, unquote. Mike Huckabee is a true friend of the Jewish people and a true friend of the state of Israel. In fact, his positions on Israel are better than that of all the self-hating Jewish leaders in the United States and in Israel. Mike Huckabee probably would be banned from running for the Knesset. He's so pro-Israel. You're not allowed to be pro-Israel in Israeli politics. Mike Huckabee is against Israel giving up any land. Mike Huckabee wants as many Jews as possible to go and live in the liberated areas of Judea and Samaria. And so Mike Huckabee said that this Iran deal is going to lead to a Holocaust, God forbid. But that's basically what he was saying. He was saying this is just like the ovens, this is leading the Jews to a Holocaust. And he's 100% correct. That's exactly what the Iranians are promising to do. And with nuclear bombs, God forbid, they can do it. The ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, is an anti-Semitic, self-hating organization of the most twisted, demented, cowardly, ghetto-minded pieces of of Judenrat Kapo garbage that have ever existed. May God bless the great Mike Huckabee, and may God curse the self-hating Judenrat Kapo traitors of the ADL who spend all of their time fighting against good Jews, fighting on behalf of evil enemies of the Jewish people like Barack Hussein Obama, whom they support, and Hillary Clinton, whom they support. They always defend Clinton and Obama and all the other Jew haters. This evil organization, the ADL, if they see a Gentile like Mike Huckabee who genuinely supports Israel, the ADL is the first group to fight against that Gentile and try to defeat that Gentile. I mean, how can you be more disgusting than this organization? And it's the same as all the Jewish establishment organizations. They are all alike. The United Jihad Appeal, the UJA, the American Jewish Committee, the American Jewish Congress, Hadassah. They are all alike. And the Orthodox Union. Traitors. They are traitors to the Jewish people. And it's because of organizations like this that we had a Holocaust 70 years ago. And God forbid, if we listen to them now, there'll be another Holocaust. Thank you, Chicago Jew. So just in answer to your question, Chicago Jew, to make it clear, Mike Huckabee was right. Mike Huckabee is a true friend of the Jewish people. We happen to support Ted Cruz because we think he has a better chance of getting elected. But Mike Huckabee is a true friend of Israel and the Jewish people, and he's 100% correct. Thank you, Chicago Jew. We go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, "Can Trump achieve conservative goals despite being ego-driven like Geraldo Rivera expose of mental care furthered his career but inadvertently helped," unquote. I don't think Geraldo Rivera did anything to help anything. The conditions and institutions that Geraldo Rivera claimed to be exposing are worse today than they were when he went in there. Geraldo Rivera, of course, is a complete fraud. But anyway, without getting into the details of that, putting aside that comparison for the moment, how can Donald Trump advance or achieve conservative goals when he himself is not a conservative? He gave most of his money and his contributions to left-wing Democrats. I mean, how stupid can people be? This is a guy who gave money to help John Kerry get elected president in 2004 and said, "I'm a Democrat, I identify with the Democrat Party." And gave money to Harry Reid and Ted Kennedy and Schmuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. I mean, how stupid can people be? This is a guy who supported amnesty for illegal aliens, complained after 2012 that Mitt Romney lost the election because he didn't support amnesty. If he had supported amnesty for the illegal aliens, then that would have been the smart thing to do, the right thing to do. That's what he said in November 2012. Now he's the big fighter for securing our borders and against Mexicans who he calls rapists. Give me a break. How come you wanted to give amnesty to the Mexican rapists, the people that you call rapists? How come you wanted to give them amnesty in 2012? And I'm not saying that all Mexicans by any means are rapists. Obviously, that's not true. But a lot of the illegal aliens who come here are. They are criminals. That's true. And he understood that, so he latched onto that issue. But he's a demagogue. He's a phony. And the only thing he's doing in this campaign is preventing Ted Cruz from winning. That's the only thing he's doing. If he weren't in the race, Ted Cruz potentially would be the front runner now. In fact, I think he would be. Ted Cruz, I think, would be in the lead in Iowa and in South Carolina, and probably in second place in New Hampshire. Donald Trump has destroyed the possibility of that happening right now. I hope that the air finally the air finally is let out of this balloon, this bluff called Donald Trump, and I hope that Ted Cruz can finally get ahead. Ted Cruz is the one candidate who can win. And you know, the stupidity of people. Donald Trump can win? I mean, how can people support? If Donald Trump got the Republican nomination, Hillary Clinton would win by the biggest landslide that we've seen in decades. Are you kidding? Every poll from everyone, and the polls are correct. Every poll says that Hillary Clinton running against the other Republican candidates In some cases, she leads by a certain amount. In some cases, it's a close race. But when you put Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump, she wins by a huge landslide because Donald Trump is despised by the vast majority of the American people. He's popular among a certain segment of Republicans. But among Democrats, independents, well, you know, outside the Republican Party, he gets no support, almost no support. And the majority of Americans have said that they would never even consider voting for him. He's completely unelectable. He's a phony. He's unelectable. The only thing he's doing is wrecking Ted Cruz's chances of getting the nomination. God forbid. I hope Ted Cruz somehow can still pull it off. But what he's doing is very destructive. Very destructive. The two people who benefit most by Trump's candidacy are, number one, Hillary Clinton. All the attention paid to this clown, Donald Trump, has enabled Hillary Clinton to get away with a lot of her shenanigans and gives her hope that the Republicans are going to self-destruct because he is destroying the Republican Party. And the second politician that has benefited by Trump is Jeb Bush, because Trump sucks out the oxygen from all of Bush's opponents who want to run to the right of Bush. And so the only opposition to Trump becomes Jeb Bush. So those are the people who benefit from Donald Trump's stupid, insane campaign, his egotistical campaign. This is a guy who said, I don't ask God for forgiveness for anything. They asked him, do you ever ask God for forgiveness? He said, no, he never asked God for forgiveness for anything. Why should he? He thinks he's God. There is nothing beneficial coming out of his campaign. Nothing. I hope that people wake up and turn to Ted Cruz, who is the only serious candidate who can turn things around for us right now, in my opinion. Thank you, PMN. We go now to Mr. VSS, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, please educate, inform, and enlighten about the late Congress member Bella Abzug, unquote. Bella Zugzug, that's what Mario Biaggi used to call her. He was another member of Congress, and he was actually friendly to the JDL and Rabbi Kahana, and friendly to me personally. I was personally friendly with him. Bella Abzug. She was a communist and a lesbian. She doesn't admit she's a lesbian. Her daughter admits she's a lesbian. Her daughter is an open lesbian, but so was Bella Abzug. I mean, she was a feminist. She was a lesbian. And a communist. She was very anti-Israel. The real Jewish anti-Semite. But in those days, you know, you couldn't be like you are now. Now, by the way, the Jewish politicians are openly anti-Israel and nothing happens to them. Because the Jews in America have become so evil. Most Jews in America have become so evil that they vote for the anti-Semitic candidate. They voted for Obama, who's an anti-Semite. They vote for Hillary Clinton. They don't care. You don't even have to pretend anymore. But Bella Abzug, even in the days when you had to pretend, when you had a different atmosphere in the Jewish community in America, she still said things that were anti-Israel all the time. I mean, she was just a vicious, extreme left-wing Jewish anti-Semite. The worst embarrassment for the Jewish people. Thank you, Mr. VSS. And we go now to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, Iran deal, quote unquote, a ruse by Obama to get U.S. forces within striking distance of Israel, unquote. No, it's much worse than that, Lewinsky Stinks, much worse than that. If Iran gets those nuclear bombs, which Obama's helping them to do, if they get hundreds of nuclear bombs, this is such a tremendous threat to Israel. It's unbelievable, the magnitude of the threat. It's just unbelievable that the Israelis are allowing this to happen. It's just so insane. It's absolutely beyond belief. And all the other Muslim countries, then Egypt, Saudi Arabia, all these other Muslim countries are also going to try to acquire nuclear bombs. I mean, the threat to Israel is so overwhelming. It would take a miracle for Israel to even hope to survive in a situation like that. That is the real danger here. And Obama and Kerry deliberately want to help Iran and want to hurt Israel. They are anti-Semites, and they do support the Iranian regime, and they're trying to help Iran. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, I think a whole lot of anti-Zionist, quote-unquote, pro-Fakistinians like Gary Burge are actually white nationalists who have figured out that bashing Israel is more socially acceptable than chanting Heil Hitler, unquote. I agree with you completely. I agree with you completely. These individuals who Israel's struggling to survive and they want to undermine her struggle to survive. They want her to be destroyed. They support those who want to destroy her. And they do everything they can. I mean, this particular individual, Gary Berg, he tries to find theological justifications for destroying Israel and the Jewish people. Of course. I mean, you're 100% right. Of course you're right. These are anti-Semites, and so they found their new little way to express their anti-Semitism by trying to destroy Israel. Absolutely right. Absolutely correct. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, and we go now to Rashi, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, opinion on the Yom Kippur War, did Israel become way too complacent? Okay, let's start with that, unquote, let's start with that. The Yom Kippur War, yes, Israel certainly did become complacent. After the 1967 Six-Day War, which I remember, I mean, I was a kid, but growing up in the 60s, but I remember it. This created such a sense of overconfidence among the Jews in Israel. And they didn't give credit to God. You know, the biggest sin after the 1967 war, I mean, there were a lot of sins, but one of the biggest sins was when that animal, Moshe Dayan, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, may his name and memory be obliterated, that animal, Moshe Dayan, was asked by a Gentile reporter. Gentile reporter went up to him and said, wasn't this a miracle? And he said, what miracle? It was the Israeli army. In other words, God has nothing to do with this. We don't believe in God. We don't believe in anything. We don't believe in God. We don't believe in miracles. This is the Israeli army because we're so smart and we're so good and we're such great soldiers. See, this type of arrogance and this type of egotism and arrogance and evil thinking, God doesn't tolerate that. And so Israel took the blow of the Yom Kippur War to show them that they're not so invincible. And they're not so brilliant and so great and such geniuses. They won the 1967 Six-Day War because of God's mercy and because it was a miracle from God. And the Yom Kippur War, the fact that they survived the Yom Kippur War was also a miracle of God. Israel did become too complacent because Israel the Israeli Jews wanted to convince themselves that it was because of their brilliance and their bravery and their fighting ability. That's why they win. Instead of giving credit to God. And I'm not saying the Jewish soldiers that fought well in the war don't deserve credit. They deserve credit. But it's God that gives the power to a nation to be able to win. And when there are miracles, it's God that is responsible for those miracles. And if you don't give credit to God, that's a terrible sin. Rashi now writes, was Alexander Haig helpful to Israel in securing TOW missiles? Unquote. I don't know. I don't know what happened with the TOW missiles, and I don't even know what period you're referring to. You mean during the Yom Kippur War, when he was in the Nixon administration? He later, of course, served in the Reagan administration as well, but if you're referring to the Yom Kippur War, I don't know. I don't know what role he might have played. I know that he was not... They say, at least, that he was behind the scenes, that he was one of Israel's friends. That's what people claim. I don't know if that's true, but... he seemed to be one of the people that are more favorable toward Israel. And he served in the Nixon administration, which was very anti-Israel. And he served, of course, in the Reagan administration. Thank you, Rashi. We go now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, what do you think of Konrad Adenauer, first chancellor of West Germany? In contrast to today's Germans, we know he wasn't a Nazi since he himself was alive during the Shoah. He gave reparations to Jews and was proud to have his capital in Bonn, not Berlin, center of Prussian-German Nazism. My rabbi attended a Jewish Catholic conference in Germany sponsored by the Konrad Adenauer Foundation. In Jerusalem, there is the Konrad Adenauer Conference Center, unquote. Binyamin, you're not going to like my answer. You're not going to like my answer. And I don't know your rabbi, but he should be ashamed of himself. He goes to Germany, a country that murdered 6 million Jews, to kiss the behinds of a people that murdered 6 million Jews? No Jew should set foot in Germany again after what they did to our people. They committed the worst crime in human history and they can never be forgiven for it. And Konrad Adenauer became the chancellor of the country that murdered 6 million Jews, and his whole goal was to rehabilitate the reputation of the Germans, who didn't deserve to have their reputation rehabilitated. They should have been stomped on by the whole world, those beasts, those mass-murdering beasts. And he gave them reparations. Wow! Oh, that was very nice. That was really nice of them. After murdering over 6 million Jewish men, women, and children, they nickel and dimed them and gave them reparations that weren't even 5% of what they stole from the Jewish people in World War II, and has never been returned to the Jewish people. Reparations. What a farce. Now, he himself fled Germany when the Nazis took over. He fled Germany. That's why they made him chancellor. They figured this will be the guy who will, you know, people will accept him more. So that's why they made him chancellor right after the war, because they knew they had a problem after people saw what they did during the Holocaust and World War II. And he set out to improve the image of Germany, rehabilitate the image of Germany, do everything he could to help the German Nazis after what they did, to help, and I mean after World War II, to help the German Nazi people after World War II, after everything they did to the Jewish people. And your rabbi promotes this garbage and promotes the idea of that we're supposed to be nice, make nice to Germans now and visit Germany, and be grateful to them for giving us so-called reparations? And your rabbi promotes this notion? I think he should be ashamed of himself. How could anyone who has an ounce of self-respect have anything to do with people who committed this horrific, unforgivable crime against our people and have never, never regretted it? The only thing they regretted is that they lost the war. And to this day, they support the Arab Nazis who want to exterminate Israel. They deserve nothing but our contempt. May Hashem destroy them. The way they destroyed 6 million Jews, may that happen to the German people. To the German people who hate us. And I want to say, because we have German Americans in JTF that may be listening to this program, if there are evangelical German Americans who are not anti-Semitic and who support the Jews because they're Christians, of course I'm not against you. I'm not against Germans because of their ethnicity. I'm against those that are anti-Semites and Nazis. And so should you be. You should be against them too. Because anyone who goes against God's people is an enemy of God. And the German people as a whole became the worst enemies of God during the Holocaust. What happened during the Holocaust was absolutely unforgivable and can never be forgiven. Never be forgiven. And the German people have proven that they don't deserve, that they deserve no consideration whatsoever. They're just as evil as they always were. They deserve no consideration. If there are German Americans, of course I'm not referring to German Americans who live in this country for generations and who are evangelical Christians and who are very pro-Israel. That's a whole different ballgame. The German Americans in places like Texas and Oklahoma, Nebraska, and other places, the German Americans that I've met that are really pro-Israel and that genuinely support the Jewish people, they're completely different from the Germans of Germany. Completely different. There's no comparison. And those German Americans who are evangelical Christians and who are not part of this will be blessed tremendously because they sincerely support Israel and they sincerely do what God commands in the Bible. Thank you, Binyamin. We go now to Dr. Dan, who writes, and I quote, 1. Rabbi Mizrahi said it was a Kiddush Hashem to be super polite to Gentiles. What do you say? Unquote. Okay, Kiddush Hashem, by the way, means sanctifying God's name. So in other words, it's a very positive thing to be super polite to Gentiles. I think we should be polite and kind to everybody unless they give us a reason not to be. Not just Gentiles. I mean, I think we should be polite and kind to everybody. You should always be polite and kind unless somebody gives you a reason to be different. Now, there is a concept of giving someone the benefit of the doubt. There's also the opposite concept in Judaism. If a nation or a people declare war on the Jewish people, like the Muslims and Arabs, then your assumption is that they're not your friends, that they're your enemies, unless they prove otherwise. Of course, it's possible that someone could be born a Muslim and then change and decide to reject Islam and decide to not be against the Jews. That's possible. Very unlikely, but it's possible. There are cases like that. Of course, that's possible. Everybody has free will. When you have a nation that is hostile to the Jewish people and hates the Jewish people, then we should not be nice and polite to them. If there are exceptions among them, in other words, if you have someone of Arab descent or Muslim descent who leave that philosophy and become friends of the Jewish people, that's a different story. That's a different story. Then we have nothing against them. But you don't give the benefit of the doubt if there's a nation that is actively at war to destroy the Jewish people. But just in general, Gentiles in general, of course we're supposed to be polite and nice to them. Of course you're supposed to do that. Of course. Unless you see that they're anti-Semitic or against the Jews, of course. Dr. Dan now writes, 2, who do you think will be the 10 to debate this Wednesday, unquote? Donald Trump, Scott Walker, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Rand Paul, who else do we have? Marco Rubio. And then those are the 8. Those 8 look like they're probably going to be in, unless something happens the last minute with last minute polls. Those 8 seem to be in the bag. The last 2, there's more question about who the last 2 will be. My guess is it'll be Chris Christie and John Kasich. That's my guess. Thank you, Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic. And we go now to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, Bo Derek, Steve Austin, and Arnold Schwarzenegger support fag marriage, quote unquote. Well, I'm a little surprised. I guess I shouldn't be. Bo Derek is a Republican. What does that really mean nowadays? Big deal. But I know she's a Republican. I know she supported the Bushes and she supported Mitt Romney, but I guess that that doesn't mean very much. I'm a little surprised because usually Republicans in general, even Republicans that are not quite like us, but even usually Republicans are against that. So I'm a little surprised. Steve Austin, you mean Steve Austin, the wrestler? You mean the professional wrestler, Steve Austin? He supports gay marriage? Huh? Yeah, I'm a little surprised. Arnold Schwarzenegger, a complete fraud, a complete evil animal. Nothing surprises me from him. Complete sellout. Always was. Always will be. And now Smash Islam writes, and I quote, Gideon Raff, Israeli fag filmmaker, lives in Tel Aviv with his lover, unquote. Actually, I thought he lives in Los Angeles. Gideon Raff is Yamashmo. Is a leftist, self-hating, vile animal. And, you know, he has a big TV series on Israeli TV. I don't even want to give the name. I don't even want to publicize it. But he has this giant TV show. Of course, all left-wing propaganda. He's a big producer of Israeli television programs. And he gets all these awards in Israel. They just love him in Israel. All the Israeli entertainment people. Because they're the same scum as you have in Hollywood in the United States. But as far as I know, I know that he's a homosexual, but as far as I know, he lives in Los Angeles. I don't think he lives in Tel Aviv. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think he lives in Los Angeles. I could be wrong. In any event, he's evil. Wherever he lives, I'd rather have him not in Tel Aviv, but wherever he is, he's evil. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, can you say a prayer for my father, Shmuel, who recently passed away, unquote. I'm so sorry to hear that, Maimonides. I'm so sorry to hear that. Alav HaShalom. May he rest in peace. And I certainly will gladly say a prayer for your father, Shmuel. I hope that, that he'll be part of Techiyat HaMitim, resurrection of the dead, and that he should have Chaye Olam, that he should have eternal life. and be blessed with all that he should be among all the tzaddikim, that he should be blessed in the next world, and God should treat him with love and mercy and kindness. Absolutely. I will certainly pray for him, Maimonides. And again, I'm very, very sorry for your loss. We go now to Kahana Was Right, BT, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, please comment on arson in Duma. Please discuss contrast government responses versus case of Asher Palmer, Hashem Yikom Damo, may God avenge his blood, and others where government pretends wasn't terror, unquote. Okay, I did discuss this in the opening. What Kahana Was Right is referring to is the arson against this Arab home. I discussed it in my opening already. I did discuss it. I didn't discuss it, though, in relation to the case of Asher Palmer, which is a good point, where the government deliberately tried to cover up his murder. And many other Jews. Jews are murdered all the time. The Israeli government always covers it up, always does everything they could to protect the Arab terrorists, the Arab mass murderers. You know, the first thing Bibi Netanyahu did when you had this arson in Duma, when this Arab home was attacked, and it was attacked again in revenge for the murder of many Jews that Arabs in that area were carrying out. But anyway, one of the first things Bibi did is he got on the phone with the mass murdering terrorist Nazi leader Mahmoud Abbas Abu Mazen, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, who's responsible for the slaughter of thousands of innocent Jewish men, women, and children. He and Yasser Arafat have been involved with the Fatah PLO terrorists since the 1950s, and they're responsible for the slaughter of thousands of innocent Jewish men, women, and children. The PLO Fatah terror organization has slaughtered more Jews than any other organization since the days of Nazi Germany. They've slaughtered far more Jews than Hezbollah and Hamas and the Islamic State. As far as I know, the Islamic State hasn't murdered any Jews. But Hezbollah and Hamas have murdered Jews. But if you put all these other organizations together, they haven't murdered a third of the number of Jews that the PLO Fatah terrorists have murdered. And Mahmoud Abbas Abu Mazen is the head of the PLO Fatah terrorist mass murderers. And Bibi called him up and said to him, we have to fight together against this terrorism. We should join together and fight against this terrorism, meaning referring to the Jews. We have to fight together against the right-wing Jews or the Jewish settlers. That's what Bibi called up and told the Muslim terrorist mass murderer. And, you know, the concept of turning to the PLO and turning to Mahmoud Abbas and Arafat to fight against terrorism as if, you know, that's like calling up Adolf Hitler and saying we have to fight together against Nazism. This whole concept comes from the Oslo agreements, which Bibi Netanyahu and Moshe Yaalon and the Likud have completely embraced and adopted now. They are completely doing 100% what Oslo, the terrible Oslo concept of begging our enemies to save us and helping our enemies, and of course our enemies use that to destroy us. So it's it just shows once again that the phony right is not better than the left in Israel, and usually even worse. Thank you, Kahana Was Right. We go now to Guns N' Roses fan who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, Israel is becoming a terrible place to live with all of the gay propaganda everywhere. They promote this crap nonstop, unquote. Very, very true, And you know, we have the same thing going on in the United States. The only place to escape it in Israel to a certain degree is in the religious communities. You know, if you go to religious communities, to a certain degree you can escape it. To a certain degree. Even there, you know, there's an attempt by the government to force everybody to accept this. It's a terrible tragedy. It's a terrible tragedy, and that's why it's so important that we be as strong as we can and reach as many people as we can so that we can wake people up before it's too late, because this is something that is completely unacceptable to God. And I pray to God that he have mercy on the Jewish people and not punish the Jewish people, but this is really, really something that God does not accept. And that's why it's so urgent that our message get out and that we reach as many people as possible and let them know that this type of perverted unnatural behavior and this whole agenda that they have is something that only leads to destruction. Thank you, Guns N' Roses fan. We go now to EB22, who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion of Jerusalem Councilman Aryeh King?" Unquote. I think he's a good Jew. I don't agree with his very strong statement condemning Jews in Tag Mechir, and you know some of the things that he said. He may feel he has to say it, but my statements are completely law abiding. I just tell people that I don't want them to break the law because I don't want them to go to jail. And that's perfectly law-abiding if you say that. I don't think there's a need to angrily condemn in order to prove yourself. I don't think there's a need to do that. He does that sometimes, and that makes me uncomfortable. But overall, aside from that, he seems to be on the right side of most issues overall. EB22 now writes, 2. Please discuss the impact of New York Democrat Grace Meng in coming out against the Iran deal, unquote. Well, I don't think it's going to... Of course, we want people to come out against it. We want to try to defeat it, but I don't think it's going to help. I think you're not going to get a two-thirds majority to override Barack Hussein Obama's veto. So, yeah, yes, we want to get as many people as possible against it. We do want that. But it's going to be enough in the end, because I think we're going to be betrayed by Schmuck Schumer, and we're going to be betrayed by all the other Jews, the Jews in Congress who have never been pro-Israel, who have always been traitors to the Jewish people. I think that they're the ones who are really going to ensure that there's no realistic chance of stopping this. In the Congress, at least. In the Congress, there's no chance. I think the only way we're going to stop it, EB, there are only one of two ways, in my opinion. Number one, if we elect a president who will stop it, God willing. Or number two, if we don't do that, if there's a miracle from God, unless God by some miracle does something. One of those two ways. Otherwise, I think we're in a lot of trouble. But we're going to try, you know, we've got to, through natural means, we've got to do everything we can, and that means we've got to try to elect the president who's going to stop it. Thank you, EB22. We go now to Black Sabbath, who writes, and I quote, 1. If Hillary Sodom Clinton loses in 2016, what are the laws concerning the Caliph-in-Chief Barack Hussein Obama running in 2020, unquote. Well, it says the constitutional amendment, there's a constitutional amendment that says you can only run for 2 terms. So he wouldn't be able to run again in 2020, according to the Constitution, at least. So I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe we'll get lucky and Michelle Obama will run. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just like Hillary Clinton follows Bill Clinton. Maybe Michelle Obama will run. Oh, what this country is becoming. No, I don't think Obama's going to be able to run a third time. I don't think so. Black Sabbath now writes, 2, discuss Rabbi Kahana, unquote. Well, Rabbi Kahana, of course, was my leader. I worked with him for nearly 20 years. And it hurt me when he was murdered just as much as when my own father passed away. And I was very close to my father. I love my father tremendously. Rabbi Kahana was the greatest and most inspirational leader you could ever have. And the greatest and most wonderful rabbi. Very learned. Brilliant. Very courageous. He never sold out. He was always true to his principles. He was the type of leader that we desperately need for the Jewish people today. And he was the type of leader who would have, if he had been allowed to run and eventually had become prime minister, if they hadn't banned him and then murdered him, if he had been allowed to run and been allowed to become prime minister of Israel, I think he could have created a Jewish people that would be that would be righteous enough to bring the final redemption for the Jewish people. I think it could have happened if he had become prime minister. That's how great I think Rabbi Kahana was. Thank you, Black Sabbath. We go now to Hiram, who writes, and I quote, Shalom. Bolshevik newspeak changed Muslim terrorist to gunman and illegal alien to migrant. Why? Unquote. Well, not just that. Illegal alien is undocumented worker or undocumented resident or it's worse than migrant. And not only that, Muslim terrorists now are actually, it's not just gunmen, Muslim terrorists like Yasser Arafat and Mahmoud Abbas and Abu Mazen are moderates and peacemakers now and are actually praised. Because evil people control the news media and control the means of communication. That's our problem. Until we have the ability to reach people with the truth, the only thing that's going to reach them are lies. That's everything. The whole purpose for JTF's existence is first of all to try to reach people with the truth and try to educate and wake people up so that then once they're educated and awakened, we can get them to move and finally do something to change this world for the better. Hiram now writes, does JTF recommend Torah classes at Chabad? Unquote. That depends where you are, what your situation is. I would prefer that you study the Torah as it was taught by Rabbi Kahana, which is not easy to do because we don't have any yeshivot that teach according to Rabbi Kahana's teachings. But depends where you are. I would prefer a Zionist yeshiva setting, a yeshiva setting that is pro-Israel and Zionistic, and that encourages Aliyah and says we have to live in the land of Israel. I would prefer that, even though I like Chabad and I love the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but the setting I would prefer is one that is Zionistic and that encourages you to live in the land of Israel. Thank you, Hiram, and I want to thank everybody for a program that I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, Shalom.